silent, into the chaos you came. Born in our likeness, held in the hands that you made. For our deliverance, your promise was given.
Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be in chapter 1 looking at verses 18 through 25 this morning. There is a story of an older man who was walking down the beach. And as he was walking down the beach, he noticed there was a younger man picking up starfish and tossing them back into the sea. Catching up with the younger man, he says to him, what are you doing? And he says that if this starfish is still here when the morning sun comes, he will die, so I'm tossing it back into the sea. And the older man looks at the thousands of starfish down the miles of beach, and he says, how can you possibly think that you're making a difference? And the young man picks up a starfish, tosses it back into the sea, and says, well, I just made a difference to that one. sometimes we feel like we're insignificant. Sometimes we feel like we aren't making any difference. Sometimes we feel like that there are those around us that are having a much greater impact than we have. When we look at the Bible, we see this. We see great men of the Bible. We look at them, we see Paul and David and Peter, and we see these large personalities and great men who have done amazing things for the gospel. And then we look and we see that for all of them, there's a Barnabas and a Jonathan and an Andrew. Those that don't seem to be making any significance at all, but having great impact. Even in the Christmas story, there are those that get all the attention. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Mary, and why not? She's the mother of Jesus. She's the only person who was with Jesus from birth into crucifixion. Of course, she gets lots of attention. And you have the wise men. They followed the star for a long way. The wise men get all kinds of attention, and the shepherds out in the field. And they get the angels come to them, and they're important enough that the angels come and talk to them. We're going to look at them on Christmas Eve, and they get lots of attention. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph? And we need to have Joseph, but he gets very little attention. You know, in the whole New Testament, we don't have any record of anything that Joseph even said. He plays a very, very small part. Yet he is significant in the Christmas story. See, we can't have the Christmas event without Joseph. You think of the names in the Bible about God. Yahweh, the one who is near. El Shaddai, the Almighty. Jehovah, the Lord provide. We think of the images of God that we see throughout Scripture. The king, shepherd, warrior, rock, refuge, our shield, our judge, the comforter, savior, the lion and the lamb, and many, many more. We see the attributes of God throughout Scripture. He's powerful and he's just, merciful and pure, honest and faithful, patient, sovereign, and loving. Christmas means that this magnificent God came to earth in the person of Jesus. And Joseph plays a significant part of the story. And so this morning, let's take the time to learn some great lessons from Joseph and his response to his part in the Christmas story. So read with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they had been together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be a child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This baby in Mary's womb wasn't just another baby. Matthew tells us very plainly that the birth of Jesus Christ took place as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And we hear the same thing when the angel says to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The words we hear here are magnificent, from the Holy Spirit. You know, birth is always an amazing thing, but what we see here is a miraculous event. The baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The divine God was coming. And to be honest, Joseph's response to the news, let's get a glimpse into who he was to really see how he responded, get a glimpse of this person of Joseph. Tradition says that Joseph was a simple but honorable man. He had a simple but honorable trade. He was a carpenter from Nazareth. He was a craftsman. Craftsmen were educated by apprenticeship. Their place on the social ladder was respectable, but not very high. If you remember the response in the synagogue in Nazareth when Jesus preached, when the elders, they raised their eyebrows and they said, isn't this the carpenter's son, the son of Mary and brother James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? See, his father, Joseph, was not a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a prince, just a simple working man. But he had two qualities which allowed him to play the part here in the Christmas story. One, he was a descendant of David. And that was significant. He had to be a descendant of David. And the second was God just chose him. He was God's choice. I like to think that Joseph is someone whom I can identify with. A common, simple person with not a whole lot to offer, but one who is simply obedient to God. So Joseph, we look at the story, he falls in love. He's betrothed to Mary. Betrothal is two witnesses, words are pledged, money is given. It's as sacred as marriage, and violation is a very serious issue. These two spend time together. They get to know each other. Their families spend time together. And their future seems set. Mary was young and pretty. Joseph was a hardworking man. And they had dreams of their bright future together. And then Joseph's world comes crashing down. Mary is pregnant. Mary comes and delivers the news to him. And she says, but it's okay, she says. I haven't been unfaithful to you. The child belongs to the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine the response of Joseph? Mary, that's the best you can come up with? The Holy Spirit is the father of the baby? Could you imagine the emotions that were going through Joseph? Confusion, anger, hurt, shock. And as he looked at this, there's no simple solution. Divorce, public shaming, pregnancy before marriage in that culture was unacceptable. Mary would be seen as a harlot or worse. Joseph would lose all respect if he stayed with Mary, who was having a child that was not his own. Joseph found himself in a no-win situation. And so he makes a decision. He decides that he's going to divorce Mary quietly. Although not fully married, betrothal was strong enough commitment that divorce was necessary. And so Joseph, being a righteous man, he had every right to embarrass Mary, but he chose to do this quietly and privately. And as we look at Joseph here, let's be honest, how many of us thought our lives would turn out exactly like it has? You know, our plans don't include things like financial hardship and death and illness and divorce. Our plans don't include betrayal, wayward children, unplanned pregnancies, losing loved ones before we're ready to. I could go on and on and on. But listen, Joseph's plans didn't include what he was going through right now. His plans didn't include facing a situation where the woman that he was betrothed to marry comes to him and says, I'm pregnant and it's not yours. That a pregnant Mary was not part of his plan. But Joseph is an example of how we should respond when God changes our plans. See, as we see this first, he thought before he acted. He took a breath. He slowed down. He waited. Mary had given him news at some previous time, but he had not yet acted on this. He thought before he spoke. He thought before he got mad, or at least showed his anger. He wanted answers, but he waited. God's word said that he considered these things. This means he took some time to think about it. He took some time to decide what he was going to do next. I believe this meant he took time to pray. I believe that he probably cried through this situation. I believe that he weighed the consequences of all the possible actions, and then he made a decision. He planned to act with mercy. And as he comes to this decision, this conclusion, this is what I'm going to do, God steps in. And it says an angel came to him in a dream, a message just for Joseph. And the angel says, do not be afraid. I can imagine if an angel appeared to me at any time, the first words he should say to me were, do not be afraid. Used four times in the connection with the birth of Christ. First to Zacharias when he was told about the coming birth of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner to Jesus. Second to Mary, here to Joseph, and then finally we'll hear, do not be afraid, to the shepherds. Perhaps we think it's an easy thing for Joseph to hear these words. Heck, an angel's delivering the message. When Mary told Joseph she was pregnant, it was of the Holy Spirit. And this was very, very difficult for him. And even as he hears it here, it's difficult for him. I'm sure that Mary explained it all very, very clearly. I'm sure she told him exactly how it was, but he needed to hear this message from the angel. See, Joseph was a Jew. And God coming in the world like this wasn't something that fit into his theological construction. If he was a Greek or a Roman, maybe he could have thought, okay, I see how a child of God becomes a man, because that is in their religious views. But Joseph knew that those religions were false, and he knew that God didn't work that way. And so when he hears this, he thinks he has two options: quiet divorce or public shame. He thought these were the only two things that could happen. And how many times when we go through difficult things do we only see option A or option B? And God steps in and says, hey, here's a third option. Sometimes in difficult circumstances, we can't see beyond the immediate. And Joseph thought he was making a good decision, but God knew there was a better one. As you study this, some commentators will say that Joseph should have sought God before he came to this decision, and he used this as an application, but I don't really think that that's true. With what we know about Joseph, I believe that he did seek God. I believe that he sought God the whole way through. I believe from the moment that Mary came to him until we get to this point in Scripture, that he was seeking God, and this is how God responded to him. These events happening here are supernatural. And God decides and God knows he needs a supernatural way to get Joseph's attention. You know, sometimes I seek God, and sometimes I struggle with knowing if what I'm hearing is really from God or not. And there are times when there's a lot of just voices that are going on, and I'm not really sure if I'm hearing God correctly. Well, right here for Joseph, man, there was no question that he was hearing from God. And then you think about the message: do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Man, how crazy. Mary is pregnant, but it's okay. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. What does this say about Joseph's faith that he would even consider this possibility? How does he respond to his family? If he takes Mary and his family, they know he's got to explain either they've been together before marriage or this is of the Holy Spirit. How does he explain it to his family? How does he explain it to his friends? Hey, don't worry about it. Really, I'm not the father. God's the father. But it's okay. How does he explain this to his friends? We don't know much about Joseph after these events. We don't know much what happens to him after. But we know that God picked a man who is strong and faithful and loyal. And we know that from here he leads his family to Bethlehem and he fled to Egypt to protect the baby. He raised Jesus as a carpenter. And he took care of his family. And his life was never the same. Imagine Joseph given the responsibility to take care of the godchild of Jesus. I was 29 years old when I had my first child. And I remember holding Elizabeth in my arms and thinking, there's no way I'm prepared for this. There is no way that I can handle this baby. God, what are you thinking allowing me to have a child? Could you imagine Joseph sitting in Bethlehem that Christmas morning, holding a baby Jesus and saying, God, you entrusted me with your son. You entrusted me. Know the character of Joseph. He showed mercy. Joseph didn't allow the circumstances to dictate his actions or to rule him. Joseph overcame circumstances. He overcame his human emotion, and he responded in faith. When the angel came to him, he believed what the angel said. I know that it's possible, but not very likely that God will speak to us through an angel. But I do know that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through prayer. And I know that when the wheels fall off and our lives are spinning out of control and we don't seem to have any answers, that we must listen to and respond to the voice of God. We must seek him for guidance in our lives, and we must move on with his plan instead of our plan. Trusting in him, we must respond in faith. God just may have something bigger than we can imagine. In the last couple of verses here, we see that Jesus is the hope for the world. An angel came and he says that you're going to have this baby. And the angel kind of blows the gender reveal here, right? For those that want to plan and have this big party, let people know what you're having, the angel kind of blows it. He's like that relative that can't keep a secret, right? Everybody's, what is it? Well, I know, it's a boy, right? This was the angel here. You're having a boy, and his name is Jesus. And the name means the Lord saves. Jesus, fully God, fully man. A difficult concept for us to understand, but a truth nevertheless. fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 that makes possible our new birth today. The name of Jesus. No other name has impacted our world more. This may seem a strange way to save the world for God to send a baby in a manger, but this was God's plan. This is why we celebrate. This is why we sing. This is why we worship. This is why here in just a couple weeks we're going to celebrate Christmas, the birth of a Savior who comes into the world for the forgiveness of sin. And so this morning, how do we respond to the message of Joseph? Consider what we've heard today and how it may apply to our lives. Jesus came to save people from their sins. This past week, I had an opportunity to spend some time with Tom Cleese's family. Spent some time with Tom over a few days when he was in the hospital with his family as he went through surgery on Wednesday. Spent some time with his family on his passing on Thursday. And I learned a little bit about Tom that I didn't know. Tom was a man who accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior about 17 or 18 years ago. And Tom was a man whose life was transformed by the gospel of Jesus. As they shared stories, the Tom before Christ and the Tom that I knew were two different people because he came to a place of faith in Jesus Christ. Known Rocco for a long time. And I've gotten to spend some time visiting with Rocco, and I've heard his story, and I've heard his testimony. And God reached into Rocco's life and touched his life. And Rocco experienced the forgiveness of sin, and God changed him. And as we are here today, both of these men are in the presence of their Savior. Both of these men, we think we're worshiping today, they're worshiping. You think our music sounds good today? And what they're experiencing today is so much better. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, this is the message of Christmas. Jesus came to save people from their sin. And we have that hope in Jesus. So this morning, let me invite you to respond to the message of salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and with everything going on, maybe things just seem a little crazy and chaotic, and you're wondering where God's plan is in all this. Well, that's where Joseph was. Joseph was in that spot and chose to put faith in God. This morning, no matter where we are in life, choose to put faith in God. And if we're here this morning, as believers in Christ, we need to proclaim the truth of Jesus. We're going to come to a time of invitation, a time where we can respond to what God is saying to us. And I invite you to do that. I invite you that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, to be bold enough maybe to get out of your seat right now and come down and say, Ed, I tell me how I can be saved. I want this relationship. I want this hope. I want to know that I will be in eternity with Him. Maybe you're going through some difficult things and you spend some time in prayer with me at the altar or where you are. Lift your voice before the Lord. If you're a believer walking with the Lord, we have a responsibility to minister and share this hope. Seek what God would have for you.
What hope we hold in this starlit night? A King is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in this silent age, 400 years can He be found? But broken by in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
God, you're born to lead, a crown of thorns would do.
God.